No.
White Castle.
Oh, shit, no, that'd be awesome.
No, I'm still mad at you about that, Cole.
Why are you mad at me?
But no, that was a bad idea altogether.
I had really bad gas.
White Castle plus Aqua Girl, or whatever it is.
Barbie Girl?
Yeah, whatever it was. That was a bad combo.
Well, now that we've all been emasculated.
Usually we wait for you to talk about your whatever movie you watched for that to happen.
Yeah.
Hey there! Welcome to The Horrible Show, the video game podcast for HorribleNight.com. I'm your host, Justin Lacey, gamertag J-Devil. Today is Wednesday, March 2nd, 2011, and we're here to talk through the news of February, kicking off the month by looking back. And joining me this evening, we've got Cole Monroe.
What's up?
We've got Ethan Moses.
Why was that so delayed? Were you?
I don't know
that?
What was going on.
That's weird.
We got Justin Gifford.
Hey, what's up?
Are you asking a question?
I don't know.
¿Dónde está el baño?
I was just glad to see you have more than a four-word vocabulary than hey or what's up. Before we dive into the headlines, as usual, we will start off with our threesomes of the week, where everybody has picked three types of media that have had their attention the past week. Warm up with our on-the-spot question by Cole Monroe this week, and then dive into the headlines of February, where we each recount a couple headlines and try to determine if any of these headlines are actually going to mean anything down the road. Wrap things up with HorribleNight.com updates and game industry shout-outs. So let's keep this party going, or started, or Cole, do something with the party and your threesomes.
Raise a roof.
Well, I watched A Giant's World. It's about Paul White, a.k.a. The Big Show. It's a documentary on Netflix, and it's pretty interesting. It's just about his life, and it's not like a bunch of his best matches or anything like that.
Hey, Cole, but, are you talking about wrestling again?
Yeah, I'm talking about wrestling. Sorry, I didn't mention that. I would figure everybody know who Big Show was, but I guess that's not true.
That's not true.
It's just a documentary about his life and how he grew up and became this giant, and his life on the road. It's really interesting. I mean, it's even for non-wrestling fans, it's pretty cool.
Is there really a story behind him becoming a giant?
He had a tumor on his pituitary gland.
Oh. I take my smart-ass comment back.
Yeah,
I watched that last week, too. That was really good.
Yeah. So really? Hot. Like, see?
Hey, on the other side, I'm really excited for WWE All-Stars.
Oh, my God. It's going to be amazing. And to answer your Twitter question or your shiniest object question, the roster's pretty damn good.
All right. Good to know.
Pretty damn good.
We'll post that link because you're the man. You let us know if they're forgetting somebody.
Yeah. No, I think it's – I can't wait to play that game. All right, moving on to games I have played and beat. Red Dead Redemption. I'm done.
Woo-hoo!
Finally. 8 hours Friday night and Saturday morning.
I wondered, man, like
– holy shit.
You and Gifford were kind of racing towards the end, but you were way behind, and you both finished it this weekend.
Yeah, my wife was exhausted from work, and I was just like, all right, this is what I'm going to do. And I was like, before she went to sleep, said, I'm going to beat Red Dead tonight. And she said, okay. And that was at like 9 o'clock. And I didn't go to bed until 2 a.m, and I still hadn't beat it yet. So I was like, Jesus. Oh. Woke up at 8 for some unknown reason, because I can't sleep in. And then I just started in on it again and finally beat it at like 10.
Oh, man. You probably ran in the same struggles that Gifford. I know you were kind of complaining about the ending dragging on there.
Yeah.
I was just trying to wrap it up. Took a while.
You just don't. I mean, the ending is fantastic, and I think we're going to.
It's unexpected.
Yeah, I think we're. And we'll talk about it more in depth on the site soon. But you don't have a semblance of when it's going to end. I think that's the most frustrating part. But when it all comes together, I think it's much more awesome because of how they structured it. It's just you're kind of left kind of dangling there for a while. So.
Well, I thought, I mean, there was a really good spot where it could have ended, and then it returned of the king on us and just kept going and going.
Yeah. So. Without the the gay hobbit sideshow. Right. So. What? What else you got?
There's a. Then I started in. Well, I mentioned it last week that I got Gears of War, but once I was done with Red Dead, I got into that more heavily and still suck at hardcore mode, but I'm getting better. And I wrote in the meanwhile today that I'm giving General Ram another shot as being a good boss, because I had kind of talked shit about him earlier on in the year, and
don't piss General Ram off in hardcore mode.
I think it was I was just disappointed in how the game ends quickly for me. I wanted to play it more, I think, and that's kind of what colored my thoughts on him as in gotcha. Boss. So I'm gonna give it another shot.
Cool. Gifford, your threesome.
My threesome is Flash Gordon, the 1980 release, which has the best movie sound or like title theme of all time. It was written by Queen.
Yeah.
And it's really cheesy sci-fi. I mean, it's like 50s B movie sci-fi, but it's sort of fun to watch. Smallville this week. This is the last season. I heard a version of an Elvis song that I really liked by a band called Swank. So I downloaded their album, and it's kind of rockabilly with a sense of humor. Really enjoyed it.
I thought that was going to be your reading material, not the music.
No, that would be Spank. And then gaming-wise, I've been playing the hell out of Bulletstorm. I just beat it on normal today, actually. I really enjoyed it. It was fun. It was exactly what it appeared to be, I guess. It's a shooter. It's a lot of fun. You kill a lot of people, and there's a lot of dick jokes.
How long is it? A game is it?
I would love to tell you that, but Rapture is not updated yet, so I can't tell you.
Oh.
But, I mean, I got it on Thursday, I think.
It didn't sound...
Go ahead.
I was going to say, it didn't sound like it was like an 8-hour game, which is kind of what I expected.
No, it was longer than that. It was like Gears of War, Gears of War 2. I mean, it was like epic.
Probably the 12, 15, 15 range, probably.
Yeah, cool. Something like that.
Well, I have not received my copy of Bulletstorm yet, which I'll detail a little bit later, but I am insanely jealous of everyone's gotten to play it. I don't do well when I don't have the game that I want at that moment, and that rarely happens to me, and sometimes the world ends when that happens. But I'm glad to see all of you survived. Okay. Ethan. Ethan, your threesome.
If you happen to be one of the 50 or so people that follows me on Twitter or my boss, you would know that last week I was sick for 2 days. And I don't get sick very often. And if I do get sick, I'm pretty fucking sick, but I still pulled it together and had enough in me to play some Fallout, and I played the fuck out of Fallout New Vegas. I happened to download the Dead Money DLC, and as much as I'd like to tell you, you know, what the content was like, I haven't even gotten into it yet because the level cap distracted me long enough. So right now I'm just kind of benefiting from the fact that instead of being level 30, I can be level 35 and become just a super duper awesome Fallout New Vegas friend guy. I don't know what the fuck I'm talking about. moving on. This is probably one of the biggest disappointments for me this week. And again, my life is I'm normally pretty happy, but you know, kind of relating to what Justin said about not getting Bulletstorm, I was really excited for Due Date, a Zach Galifianakis movie, because I love Zach Galifianakis because he reminds me of one of my best friends. Robert Downey Jr.'s Zach Galifianakis traveling cross country. How in the fuck can you go wrong? And you can. You can. It wasn't that funny. It was
evidently.
I would recommend that movie But don't get your hopes up. You know, it wasn't a bad movie, but I was anticipating some really good character acting from Zach Galifianakis, and I just feel like they are really... I'm kind of concerned for him because I kind of feel like he might go the way of Chris Farley and that every character he plays will be the exact same character, and I don't want him to get burned out on that, you know what I mean? So,
but on the other side, we might get a sequel to Beverly Hills Ninja.
I would love that. If Zach Galifianakis could pull that off, I would love that. But again, not a great movie, but compared to all the other movies that I've watched this year, it should get a fucking Oscar. You know what I mean? So.
I think 2011 should be your year of terrible, terrible movies. Don't try to break it.
Well, I mean, it still wasn't a great movie, but I mean, you're good. I've seen
you're 2 months
movies.
In. Just keep it going.
Okay. I apologize for that. Just call this a fluke. Okay, I'll start watching shitty movies again. Another Steam sale came up this past week, and in a game called Spellforce 2. I don't know what kind of attracts me to games like this, but the Metacritic score was 80. That was in 2006, however. But still, it's still a pretty fun game. It's a little bit of combination of dungeon crawling, a little combination of real-time strategy. I've only played it for like 35 minutes, but there's a lot of possibility for it, you know what I mean? And I think that it kind of reminds me of the campaign that comes with StarCraft II, so you can kind of see where...
Really?
Yeah, I mean, just because of how they kind of incorporated some leveling and more, you know, unit management as opposed to just, you know, again, making huge amounts of soldiers and going crazy. But again, it's pretty heavy on the RPG elements, too.
I just thought that was a grand comparison to StarCraft from a game that I haven't heard anything about.
Well, just not... I mean, again, I make that... That's a very broad comparison. It's just how it came... Like, with
how structured.
Well, yeah, I mean, it was just with, you know, because with the StarCraft campaign, it was a lot different from, you know, previous StarCrafts in that, you know, the actual campaign missions have narrative and that sort of thing. And this does, too. So it reminds me of that. I don't want to give anyone the wrong impression. It's absolutely the complete polar opposite of StarCraft II, but it's still enjoyable nonetheless. And, you know, I like those kind of, kind of outskirts type games, you know. So I might put some time into it this weekend.
To ask a quick question about Metacritic, it's like an 8 or an 80 out of 100 in like one magazine or site wouldn't like sell me. But on the other hand, it seems like averaging 80 on Metacritic would be pretty good. That's not a statement. That's a question.
Oh yeah, I guess I answered it like a statement. Yeah, I think an 80 on Metacritic now. We won't even get into the debate about how some people feel about how Metacritic goes about scoring things, but an 80 on Metacritic is pretty good, you know, especially for a game that I've never heard of up until this point. So
I guess, yeah, I just use Metacritic when I haven't heard of a game as a barometer if I'm going to read into it at all. Like, but like if it's kind of like if a game is like 60 or 50 or below, I won't pay attention to it. But like if it's got some decent reviews, then I start looking at, okay, who thinks it's decent? And then, because, you know, I kind of have those half a dozen editors that I follow that, based on their opinion, I somewhat have a semblance of what I might think of it. And but I try not to let that score dictate everything because, yeah, that's a much larger conversation. But it's a useful tool in that regard. People take it way too seriously.
It's a good gateway.
Long story short, Metacritic is, Metacritic is an aggregation of some amount of other review scores, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
And it's even harsher than the tomato meter on Rotten for movies, because the tomato meter basically gives it a thumbs up or a thumbs down based on the score range. But this one literally averages out points that from all the reviews. And anyway. Another conversation another day. Maybe a reply to all. For my threesome this week, I finally checked out the Ricky Gervais Show. That's on Netflix recently, and ever since his Golden Globes performance, and I don't know, since Alienation from that, I've become an even bigger fan of his, and finally got through one episode, and I don't know, his sense of humor, like, I have to be in the mood for it, but the first episode had me cracking up the other night, and I'm going to stick through it and at least get through the first season, but that's out on Netflix. And then switching it up here, this actually comes on from advice from Daniel Tosh, who evidently
I know where you're going with this.
I was never really aware of or paid much attention to my bed sheets. Like, they were just functional. And I'd never understood why, you know, sometimes, like, at nicer hotels, like, the sheets feel differently than what I have at home. And I just, oh, those are nice sheets. But I didn't know what really made nice sheets. And apparently the thread count is very important. And I went out of my way and I bought, like, double the thread count that I'm used to. And I will never go back.
That's awesome. Yes. Yeah.
And as Tosh said, it's a third of your life, spend the fucking money. And so I've been really enjoying my new high thread count sheets, and recommend it to other dudes like me that don't pay attention to that shit normally.
Well, I was going to say, Aziz Asnari, I believe that's how you pronounce his name, also does a quick little bit on thread count. And you have to be careful because some thread counts aren't as high as they
I'm not going to get into the details. I don't want to know, you know, I can pay attention to, like, the differences between graphics cards, but I'm not going to get into whether 25 or 50 thread counts are off. So.
Yeah. No, I mean, they can be off by, like,
you get up 400. You get up around 800 and it just feels awesome.
Well, I'm not even, like, I think I'm, like, halfway there. I think I got, like, 400 or something. I've been living in, like, the 200 range.
You've been living in college sheets.
Yeah, like, but that's what I know. And
we should bury you in the Potter's field with threads like that. That's ridiculous.
You know why Ethan knows this, right? He's married.
Yeah, I was gonna say that's the only reason. Yeah. No, we probably have like 3,000 thread count. I mean, it's amazing.
I spoke a little bit earlier how Bulletstorm didn't arrive this weekend, and so I had to look for another game, and I made my way to Dragon Age, and I'm shocked with how much I like it. That's just kind of I wrote up the article on Tuesday, and I don't know why I was just so quick to dismiss it originally, but I've been reading up a lot on Dragon Age 2 is getting ready to come out in March, and the demo just came out, so I gave that a shot, and I was just like, I literally had a moment where I put the controller and I was like, God, this game's fun, and I expected depth and getting into the characters and getting the story, but I didn't expect to have fun, which was just kind of humorous to me, but and so I'm interested in Dragon Age 2, so I have to start over. That's basically where my logic took me, and I've been really enjoying making an evil bitch elf to terrorize Dragon Age Origins. So,
who doesn't?
So yeah, I recommend that 2-year-old game. You can find it pretty cheap. I think I got it. I got $19.99 used, actually. So, EA's got plenty of money, and I'll hook them up with Dragon Age 2 soon enough. So, moving on to some more video game discussion, because that's what we're here to do. Our on-the-spot question this week. No, I lied earlier. It wasn't from Cole. Cole did our reply to all this week.
I also did the on-the-spot question last week, and you credited it to Ethan, but I let it
slip. I didn't even not take credit. I was just like, yep, that was me.
I don't know who is who anymore. We're all existing on the internet. I don't see faces. We need to all hang out soon. Or maybe I was too drunk the last time we hung out to know who was who. Anyway, there was a very, very interesting game announcement last week from Ubisoft, and apparently they love the Nintendo Wii and have been releasing some strange games on there, but the one they announced last week kind of takes the cake. It's called We Dare. So I we're going to post this link on the site. And basically, it's... I don't even know. I made the joke that it's promoting itself as We Orgy, because it's basically a party game that promotes promiscuous games and uses of the Wii remote. So I made everybody watch this video. I was just kind of interested in your reaction. So we'll start with Ethan.
I thought it looked fucking stupid as shit. I don't think we need to give anyone any more excuse to reproduce in this, you know, fucking world. And with the Wii being so user friendly, I just feel like there's going to be a lot more babies born soon, you know.
You think the Wii is going to lead to more babies?
I think it's going to be a direct correlation between, you know, the population explosion that's going to send us into an apocalypse, man.
And this game is the catalyst for
this
that?
This is going to be the fucking catalyst right here.
Cole?
I'm just confused about the video and about what Ethan just said. I mean, really, like, if you're gonna do all that stuff with a video game system, you can just not have the video game system around and just do it anyway.
That's what your dick's for.
Gifford.
Aside from, it's on the Wii, so I really don't give a shit. You know, if the game is rated,
teen.
12 and older.
Yeah.
T12 and older. And the ad does not show anybody, you know, teenagers playing it, A, and B, it doesn't show empty liquor bottles they stole from mom and dad while mom and dad were out of town, because that's the only way anybody would ever play that game. And aside from, like, teenagers get hookup because they're drunk and or stupid.
And bored.
Horny. And you don't need this game to, like, make teenagers stupid,
I think,
drunk, bored, or horny.
That's what baffled me the entire time, because the entire video shows these 20-somethings playing it and just having the fucking time of their life. It's the most incredible aphrodisiac they've ever participated in. And I'm like, maybe I don't understand Europe. Maybe I don't understand French people, because in Ubisoft altogether. But I just don't. I don't see the 20-somethings playing this or being interested in the Wii at all at this point.
The French designed the world's most famous aphrodisiac, wine.
and like you said, on the teenagers, like, who are they marketing it to? I just it was hilarious. But I think we'll fortunately be able to stop talking about this, because they announced it's not coming to the United States. Apparently, we're not. We're a little too conservative for this game and just don't get it. So
we're going to import it and shoot a video with it, right?
I don't know if I want to see where that...
I'll do that Apple thing with you, Cole.
Our Dance Central videos are disturbing enough.
We got Katamari, but we're not going to get Wii.
We're getting Catherine. We're getting Catherine, but not this.
We don't want to encourage spanking people while playing video games. I think it's pretty obvious.
I'll take your word for it.
So yeah, be on the lookout for We Dare. Going to be a top seller in Europe this year. Moving on to the news of February. We've each picked two headlines. We're going to run through these, and at the end, try to decide if any of these headlines matter. And I will kick us off with a wonderful new website that I was scared of for about a week. It really wasn't a headline as so much as promoted through a lot of the social media sites and a lot of the game editors that I follow. It's fatuglyorslutty.com. So I think you can understand why I didn't click that link and thought it might be spam the first time I saw it, and also didn't want to click it at work. But turns out basically the site is run by a bunch of girl gamers that have assembled screenshots and messages to out all of the horrendous sexist comments they endure while playing video games and trying to basically out the gamers that are treating them like trash. And
Call of Duty.
Yeah. Call of Duty was very much featured in on the site as well as Halo. And I don't know, we had some interesting conversations off site because one of the things when we launched Horrible Night, when Christina started getting involved, I never really fully grasped, you know, why she had a private profile. It's like, because we wanted to tie all of our gamer tags into public feeds and get them thrown to the site and, you know, get her set up with a Twitter account. But she just was not very comfortable with people being able to track her information down. And, you know, I just thought she was just kind of kidding and, you know, sure, you know, she's going to get a little bit of harassing types of comments, but just kind of opened my eyes after viewing this site, the type of bullshit that girl gamers actually have to endure, especially serious girl gamers that can kick all of our asses in these games. That it's just nice to see the community kind of fighting back, and a lot of people kind of embraced the site and promoted it. And I think it actually brought out a lot of awareness of an issue that doesn't really get talked about too much.
That was just, even though there's a lot of funny stuff on there, it's also sort of disturbing. Yeah. Sort of is probably an understatement. It's pretty disturbing.
Let me just go to this site and give you guys an idea of some of the things these girls have to experience. I'm going to tie strings around your nipples and play your breasts and clit like a marionette. That's just, like, disgusting.
I guess I don't get it. As I read a lot of them, I mean, is that an insult? It just doesn't make sense. It's not very feasible, because how would someone even allow you to wrap strings around your nipples without fighting back? You know?
But I mean, just for somebody to send that to somebody else, like, take the time to, maybe they have the Xbox 360 keypad or whatever, but even if they didn't, take the
That's another good point, if they don't have the keypad, the time it takes to do some of this stuff. That's what I don't know, just the lengths people go to when they feel anonymous just cracks me up. Like, and I wonder too, like, how many of these are like random messages versus people they've actually played against? I mean, I think Christina go ahead.
Oh, I was just gonna say, I think the site says a lot of them are just like a girl. Somebody finds out that a girl is a gamer and then censor shit like that, like completely unprovoked. Not that it would be okay if it were provoked, but.
Well, I mean, I guess looking at it, like, it is an interesting website. It is good to call attention to it, but let's be honest here. This is really bad for gaming. I mean, this is really bad for the reputation of gaming, because not only are we dealing with all the other shit that Fox News and whoever is you know, piling on to gamers as a stereotype, but now even girls can't even play games, you know what I mean? Whereas before, there was no such thing as girl gamers. Now that they're out there, I mean, it just, this kills me every time I see shit like this. Like, I just wish that, you know, a website like this, again, is really good, but it also fuels that Fox News stuff. I mean, you know, I appreciate, you know, what they're doing here, but I wish there was a different spin that we could take on it. I wish there was a counter website, you know, that came up with, you know, like, compliments from people that play games, or, you know, like, reassuring gamers or something like that, because it's just really not good. I mean, it's ugly, ugly shit in that. It's not just fuck you. It's like, you know, exactly what Cole just said. I mean, it's sexually just perverse.
Well, I mean, is that the call out to responsible gamers, especially those of us that are adults and really care about the industry? I mean, I'm pretty, when somebody's really out of line online, I'm happy to say, you know, that's not cool. And if they keep it up, I'm happy to file a complaint.
Right.
Like, I'm that guy. If you're that much of an asshole, you're ruining the game.
I think people, not to categorize this, but people like us just need to be more proactive with that side, because I don't know. I mute people. That's my action. But like, we're obviously not taking enough action. But I think that's why, Ethan, I didn't have any negative feelings towards the site, other than like just disgust of what I was reading. But that this to me was almost like the first step of more of an awareness thing. I think there is another, because I mean, Gifford talked about talked about it last week, but just getting fed up with that online crowd, just like I said, prestiging with being racist, homophobic, and misogynistic all in one glorious sentence. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
it's gone on long enough. I don't know what the solution is, but to me, it gives fodder for Fox News, but it also because personally, it just kind of better illustrated an issue that I was only kind of aware of. Like, the girls get harassed. Yeah. I was like, holy shit.
Well, don't get me wrong. Yeah. I think it's a good website. You know what I mean? I'm not saying that at all. I just think it's really sad that, you know, gamers as a group have to be, I mean, we're going to have to get drug through the mud a little bit here to get any sort of reputation back. I mean, if that's what it takes, that's what it takes. But I mean, the fallout from something like this, I just see as being, and again, it's our fault completely if we're allowing people to talk like this, but I mean, I just see a lot of fallout if the right person or the wrong person, depending on how you view it, gets a hold of something like this. You know what I mean? And I mean, I think you make a really good point, Justin, is we all do look away and none of us say anything. And even if we get called, you know, fucking stupid or whatever, I mean, we probably should stand up a little bit more with this kind of stuff.
Our silence and our not playing of those games, it's not solving the problem either. I just assumed, you know, Xbox Live is still kind of new to some people. Like, this is, you know, gaming's getting more mainstream. I'm kind of cheering that on, but this is, I assumed it would just go away, and it's, I think it's gaining strength. That's the disappointing.
Well, I mean, the best part about this site is though, like, these people who are sending these messages or whatever are being outed as these type of people. You know,
I think that was my favorite part.
That's really the only thing you can do besides what Christina has said is like report them or block them or whatever. You know, now that more and more people are seeing this site, they can, I guess, stay away from these type of people. But there's always going to be someone new coming along and sending a misogynist message to somebody.
That's why I think
maybe the flip side is, and you get enough people banned, the message gets out, I hope.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Well, and that's why I like the real ID, you know, that Blizzard was talking about, because you know what? Like, the internet is, I like being anonymous in certain things I do. Don't get me wrong. You know, I don't necessarily want Ethan Moses spread all across the internet, but I don't do anything on the internet that's bad. You know what I mean? And so
I think fearful of it.
Yeah, exactly. And so I think that, you know, the internet is a lot bigger than it used to be. You know, the internet is intertwined in people's lives a lot more. And so I think people need to take the responsibility for their internet lifestyles just as much as we take responsibility for real life. And I think that, again, maybe this website is kind of saying, look, you can't, I mean, you know, none of these people are this big of douchebags in real life. They get the shit kicked out of them. You know what I mean? It's easy to call someone on the phone and tell them that they suck. It's something else to say it to their face. So, I mean, I'm all for real ID if it's going to prevent us as gamers from looking like shit because of these assholes.
Yeah, I think I'm with you. I just kind of embraced the fact that you're not really hiding from anyone online. And, you know, I'm not doing anything that you really need to hide online. So, anyway, that's probably, again, that's probably a conversation we can come back to in a future podcast. Look forward to that. Let's move on to Ethan's first headline.
Going along with, you know, reputation and games and that sort of thing. We've talked a lot about ratings as of late, and this story in particular, you know, aside from, you know, kind of the Bulletstorm, you know, debacle that kind of happened with Fox News, this story caught my eye. Not because of the idea of censorship or the ratings, but just kind of the difference between, you know, censorship and tastefulness. And the Call of Quara series is coming out with a new game called The Cartel. And again, there's not a whole lot of details about the game, but the impression is that it would prominently feature some themes that, you know, are currently pretty in the news, pretty consistently right now, with kind of how the drug cartels down in the South are, you know, kind of some of the issues that are happening with that. And, you know, Mexico and the state of Juarez itself is trying to ban the game you know, to prevent children, you know, from playing it. You know, again, a lot of it was the same type of, you know, bullet storm type debate is, oh, it'll make them bad and this and that. But as I read into it a little bit more, I kind of had a different impression. My idea of censorship, I'm totally against censorship. I'm totally, you know, I like the rating system. I think parents need to take responsibility. But it also, you know, brings the question up, you know, where do we stop in terms of tastefulness? I think that there is a lot of really crazy stuff going on, you know, in Mexico right now. I think there's a lot of very, you know, just intense violence happening. And I think there's a lot of real people that are exposed to that. And, you know, whereas we don't have a lot of details about Call of Juarez, if it does have the content that, you know, is making a whole country kind of stand up against it, then, you know, where are we at in terms of maybe not censoring it because of the content, but censoring it because of, you know, how relevant it is to, you know, news and whatnot. You know what I mean?
And this is different. This is different from, like, a lot of the bannings that, you know, that tend to come out, like, in Germany and Australia because they just don't, like, you know, they have stricter guidelines for violent games. But this is more of the you know, what was the 6 days of Fallujah game, and in some of the content of Modern Warfare 2 and of scenarios that are just a little bit too real or a little bit too current, people are starting to have issues with. Because I remember, you know, it wasn't an issue for some reason. We were all everybody's okay with World War II Nazi types of games because how historical it is and just Nazis in general being evil. And when I just remember when we were all tired of the World War II games and they started broaching into Vietnam, I remember kind of being a little bit hesitant or cringing a little bit when they first started announcing those games. Cause like, you know,
that's my dad.
Yeah. They're Vietnam vets around that's not a game to them. And I think that's the reaction that everybody's kind of stemming from, is that isn't a game. That's real people have experienced that. And now you're getting into something even a little bit more current, no matter how, you know, how fictional the game's actually going to end up being.
I was going to say with the, you know, Mexico is a very poor country. And I've been hearing on the news that, you know, all these people who are in the cartels are like flaunting their money and showing how rich they are. And it's influencing the kids in Mexico on the streets now, who, you know, they see this wealth and that's what they want to grow up and be. Now, do we want a video game to portray that even more, you know?
Well, I mean, I guess the way it bothers me, the Call of Juarez, and, you know, I thought that the, what was it, Modern Warfare 2 with the
terrorist scene.
With the terrorist scene, and then also what was it, Battlefield?
Medal of Honor was going to let you play as...
Taliban.
Yeah.
You know, those are in bad taste. That bothers me. But I think where it comes down for me is I'm not a big fan of censorship from the top. Mm-hmm. I'm a big free speech person. And when it comes to Call of Juarez or any of the other ones, it's, you know, if that bothers you, don't buy it. Or let the market speak on this one. If this is a horrible idea, then the market's going to speak on that one. I'm not a big fan of seeing laws come out that say you can't make this kind of game. You can't sell this kind of game. You know, let them sell the game, and it goes, in addition to the free speech thing, it goes in with something else that we've talked about and I think are in agreement with, which is parents, if you have kids, pay attention to the game you're buying them.
Yeah. I think you agree. I'm reacting from my personal gut that this wouldn't be a game that I would buy and support, just as some of the other ones that, you know, I've cringed at these, but you're absolutely right, Gifford. I don't support anything as far as from the higher ups banning these games. I'd rather let the people say what they have to about the games and kind of leave it up to choice. But it definitely was a different take, because I just remember, Ethan, when you posted the article, that I was like, oh, I didn't realize they were so sensitive. And then I start reading into it and I was like, that's, you know, this is, like I said, it isn't Australia banning Duke Nukem or whatever.
Yeah.
It's a little bit we're closer to home there.
Well, and the unfortunate thing that came from that is, and as I stated in my article, is, you know, make a point on tastefulness. I don't have an issue with that. You know, I'm all for free speech too, but I'll tell you straight up that, you know, you've got the Westboro Baptist Church and stuff like that. Yeah, that's a horrible, horrible taste, and people can speak to that. But I think the weakness to any debate that came out of this was the fact that the very first thing they talked about was the influence on the kids because of the violence, not how, you know, the tastefulness of the type of violence they were portraying. And I just think that people, you know, there is a debate for violence in kids. I absolutely agree with that. But everyone falls back on the same argument. And if you're going to have intelligent, you know, discourse on anything, make sure that you're just not, you know, piggybacking off what, you know, again, the Fox News or, you know, the new flavor of the week talking out about something has. I think that, you know, I would love to have a debate with people about violence and kids, but as soon as you mention, you know, Bulletstorm or Duke Nukem or something like that, we're done, because those aren't kids' games, just like Cole wrote about. And I just think that I just wish someone would intelligently debate this. Again, like we talked about, I wish like a psychologist or a psychiatrist would give us something, but there's nothing out there, you know?
Yep.
Well, and you got the Jack Thompson, the reason that he
Jack Thompson.
You know, the reason that Jack Thompson at this point is kind of a joke is because the industry took him on and said, and he couldn't.
Absolutely. I agree with Spencer.
All right. Let's move on to Cole's first headline.
On the lighter side of the news, Batman Arkham City is only going to be single player. And I think that is fantastic.
Smooth move.
Too many games have just been tacking on multiplayer and just to, you know, have that longevity on the shelves. And I think it's refreshing that a game could come along and say, nope, we're just going to concentrate on the single player, make it as best as we can, and enjoy it. So I think many of us have professed our love for Batman, and I don't think...
I do it. I try to every day.
Yeah. And the Batman video game. And yeah, I think this is a great decision on Rocksteady's part.
I'm ready to fall in love with Rocksteady after this game, honestly. Like, kind of new kid on the block when the first game came out, and this is kind of where they can really... I don't know, establish themselves. Not that they kind of have with the success of that first game, but
a little bit.
Just that one. I didn't even realize this was a debate. But you gotta when the headline came out, they had to have been pressured to try to find a way to make it multiplayer. And I think, you know, when the first screen,
they said they did in games. Damn it, Game Informer.
Yeah, when they had like the rumor was that you could be able to play as Catwoman too or something. And I'm just glad they took the stand and like they made it just so matter-of-factly that of course this is a single player game, and that somehow they're able to sling their weight around and not be forced into making that game into something it isn't. And the other games have kind of fallen victim to that, and I didn't want to see Batman fall.
Well, I think it's good because we had the news about Mass Effect 3, and then this. I mean, this is kind of a good kind of jumping off point for the single player games to kind of resurface and say, look, we don't all have to be multiplayer. So having two pretty major games take that stand is a big deal.
Yeah, and especially the conversation's definitely shifted the other way. That EA has even come out and said that they're actually trying to shy away from the single player only experiences, that those are dying. And I still think that's going to end up carrying the industry down the road. And especially, you know, with a lot of the growth of the downloadable titles and the apps and the social games, that those epic single player experiences are tougher to justify budget wise. But I think that's what's going to separate some of these console experiences. And, you know, it's why I play games. I don't know if the next generation is going to be all about it as we are, but God, I hope they stick with it.
And if we relate it back to the fat, ugly, or slutty like, you know, more people might be shying away from the multiplayer aspect of games if it keeps, you know, becoming more like that and be wanting to play single player games.
That's a good point.
And unless it's a top tier multiplayer experience, mm-hmm. and you can argue that how you want, I'm basically a single player guy.
Yep.
Like, yeah. I play Gears of War and Halo Online because they had great multi, especially Reach had great multiplayer, but
how often did you play Red Dead Online?
I have not played Red Dead Online at all.
There you go.
There's another idea, by the way, for a horrible old lady.
Not that I won't, but you know, but I bought Red Dead because
it's very. I'll say this: it's very repetitive.
No, I just wanted to say that I think a lot of, well, all of us are primarily single player game. That's the style we go for more so than the multiplayer. Not that we don't enjoy multiplayer, but multiplayer takes effort. Like, that's kind of where I've been getting with my World of Warcraft experience, is that I have to have a schedule for it, and you have to plan ahead of time when you really want to do even some of the co-op stuff, that you've got to have, you know, almost set times where you'll both be online, that you'll know you'll be online for a certain length of time, and it takes a little bit more effort rather than usually when I'm playing games anymore. It's to kind of just take a load off and just relax, and I want to play what I'm in the mood for. And sometimes, you know, I'm not up for Warcraft. I just want to shoot some shit.
Yeah, even playing like a game like Call of Duty or something, you have to constantly play it if you want to be any good at it.
Yeah,
and if you suck, it's not any fun, and you don't want to play it. So it does take some effort.
Well, and the reason I'm not playing the newest, newest Call of Duty is because the single player is not supposed to be all that great. And if you don't have a single player that's worth playing, I'm not buying your game, even if your community isn't a bunch of racist, homophobic, misogynist assholes.
Just to tie it back to Batman a little bit, I will advise you guys and everybody else to kind of read up on some new info on Arkham City's kind of come out in the last week as they've started kind of previewing it for people, and I am getting really excited for that game. And from what they're saying, single player is going to be more than plenty. So,
yeah, sorry to take off topic. I'm super excited for Batman on Arkham.
Let's go to Gifford's headline.
My headline is that Gears of War 3 emerges on September 20th. As our link points out, if you are not aware of this, trust me, over this summer, if you watch any TV or ever use the internet, you will be, because it's a AAA Microsoft title, and it's, an epic game. But I'm excited about it because, you know, you got chainsaws and assault rifles and bad guys for which there's no, like, ethical conundrum. They're evil, and they want to eat you. So kill them.
And there's a third weird, whatever the Lambent are. Like, I don't know why to be angry at them, but they seem to be destroying the world, too. So.
They're like an enemy of the enemy, right?
Also trying
but
to
I
eat
don't,
you.
But, yeah, I don't think they're your friend.
So it's like a threesome.
Kind of. But with,
yeah, not
with a lot of hate.
With less bad movies.
Okay.
I'm beginning to think, I heard, I think it was on the Bombcast, but somebody relating that Gears of War was on the Halo timeline, because they also announced that the multiplayer beta is coming out in April, and it was April and September are kind of the similar release schedule to Reach and previous Halo games. And this game comes out the week of my birthday. Gears of War 2 did the same thing, and Halo Reach did that this year. I might have been conceived by Microsoft is kind of where I've been going with this conclusion, because all these top AAA Microsoft games keep coming out the same week as my birthday, and I think they're trying to give me birthday presents for a reason.
Well, hopefully they'll send you it for free.
We'll work on that.
Were you a Microsoft Tube baby?
It's possible. I mean, I don't remember being born. That's all I can say.
Is Bill Gates your father?
He'd be a nice dad. Maybe I'll get something in his will. So I think I'm more excited about the April beta, just because that's closer and I get to play Gears soon. And really, really excited to see how that game is shaping up, just because really, it's kind of the unexpected series, like success series of the 360, because when Gears of War 1 came out, it had been a while since Epic had had a single player game worth talking about, and it was the game that sold the system for me, sold HD gaming to me. And up until I remember seeing video gameplay of Gears of War 1 at E3, whatever year that was, and just seeing that cover system in action and realizing this isn't just another shooter. And sometimes when you see new technology like that, you start to wonder, what is it even going to be like to play that? It doesn't even look real, you know what I mean? Like the way they were chainsawing dudes, and just to see how far that series has come out of really out of nowhere for a big developer like that. And you know, a lot of the success of Gears of War has kind of led to the success of that Unreal Engine and Epic's, you know, current ability to, you know, release games like Bulletstorm. They're a developer that makes games, you know, for me, and I love every second of it.
And I think the other thing, or maybe not to go along with the surprise thing, or maybe why it's been so successful, is right up there with some of the other games we've talked about. From the get-go, on the first one, they paid attention to little details, like getting in and out of cover is easy to do. It's smooth. The controls make sense, mm-hmm. you know. And that's something that I think not only can make or break a game, but takes a game from, yeah, it was fun, to, oh my God, this game is awesome, is little things like, you know, the reload mechanic being easy to use. Yeah, even though they changed the interface a little bit from other shooters, once you picked it up, it was intuitive. Mm-hmm. And I think that probably goes along with a little bit with why Apple's so successful. A lot of their stuff is very intuitive.
After we get to Apple? Anyway.
And I didn't trash them.
No, I think that type of gunplay has become my favorite style of shooting. Like I prefer that to first person shooters. And you know, I kind of look back at, you know, Nintendo 64, PlayStation 1 era, that one of the defining features of that was Z targeting in Zelda. And then the next generation, really dual analog control kind of made first-person shooters on the console what it is today, the force that it is today. And I really think the cover system in Gears of War is kind of the one of the defining game mechanics of this generation. And sure, a lot of games borrow and rip it off, but nobody really implements it better than Gears. So we will be online in September, that's for sure.
We will be online shortly with Gears of War 2.
We'll get to that. Thank you, Cole.
You're welcome.
Ethan, your second and final headline.
Well, I think that Telltale Games just went to an auction for shit I really like, because they have announced quite a few titles, you know, that they're going to be making, that are going to be made, and the transition will be made. Excuse me, God, I'm stuttering over my tongue here. You know, the transition from movie, comic, old game to current game right now, with the announcement of the Walking Dead game coming out, Fables, which is a comic series coming out, Jurassic Park, which is fucking awesome, and King's Quest. I just saw recently that they're coming out with a new King's Quest, or is it a new King's Quest or a remake on the King's Quest?
It's new.
I think it's new.
New. See, that shocks me. It's like, it's just like a bundle of excitement right now, and I think that it's kind of cool the approach they're taking, because if they do these games justice, we may see more examples of you know, smaller type games coming out that you know, that don't go the way of you know, like the Clash of the Titans game, which is a big budget movie with a shitty ass game because they wanted to try and make a big budget game, and they failed. Maybe what they need, the approach that needs to be taken with games and movies and those kind of transitions is, you know, make something a little bit more simple, a little bit more, you know, casual gamer friendly, and then just kind of go from there.
It's been really fun to watch Telltale grow as they have. I mean, when they came out and were kind of starting with the same Max series and one of the first ones really pushing the episodic gaming, there were a few other companies trying to do it, but they've stuck with it, and now they've just become the go-to company that other companies are trusting with their franchises. Like, it's just, who else would you have make a new King's Quest series at this point? And, you know, depending on how Jurassic Park, which looks incredible, and how The Walking Dead turns out, they've really kind of opened up what their capabilities are, and they're just really hard not to root for. I mean, right? The two smaller companies I cheer for all the time now are Telltale and Twisted Pixel. Like, I just love watching everything they do.
I think it's interesting, like, Telltale started out with, like, Sam and Max, and then they moved on to Monkey Island, and that was very successful for them. And then all of a sudden, it's like Back to the Future and Jurassic Park, and everybody's like, oh, shit, they're making, like, two games at once.
Yep.
And then they announced, like, five.
Yeah, that's a good,
like,
point.
Holy crap. And then they announced, like, Ethan said Walking Dead and King's Quest, and I was just like, oh, man, that is... Oh, King's Quest. That's some memories right there.
Yeah. I was going to say.
Well,
and I wonder, like, there was that independent King's Quest project going on too, and they had a big fight with, I think, Activision owns the license now. So did Telltale license it from Activision, or do you know what's going on there?
Yeah, I mean, it's still Activision still owns it. Telltale gets to do whatever they want with it, but it's still going to be Activision's name. And cool. I think that's why. Which is funny looking back. I mean, Activision's actually, you know, with World of StarCraft, and there was another story about gamers making their own version of old games, and this King's Quest story, that Activision's actually been kind of cool with the fan-made stuff recently. Like, they come out kind of harsh, but it's just like the legal team acts, gets the info, and then they kind of release their response. But, I mean, obviously, if they've been working on a King's Quest game, they're going to try to make sure that this other project doesn't really steal the thunder. Like, I kind of understand protecting it at that point, but they didn't stop it either. They allowed them to release it in a different way. But
I think they saw maybe the quality of that. I haven't played it. I've just kind of read a little bit about it, and it's not supposed to be that great.
Yeah.
And then what Telltale can do with it, they're just like, all right.
But this also opens up, I mean, that's the interesting thing, is you had all those LucasArts adventure games, but now the Sierra games are opening up with King's Quest. So that means
Police Quest.
Possibly Police Quest and Space Quest are right around the corner. And Space Quest, that's my game, buddy.
I obviously missed out on an entire genre of games.
You're busy playing Flight Simulator.
That's not it. Like
Coleman, let's go to your second headline.
So it's coming out that there's a rumor that PlayStation 3 is going to move to the cloud with their game saves, which is an interesting step to take, I think. Like, if access could be had of any place, like if I go to Justin's house and I say, oh, you know, let me load up my save and don't have to bring anything with me, that's pretty cool if I can log into the cloud. However...
You still have to turn on your
phone. There's a big
However, it's Sony, and like Justin just said, you have to turn on your PlayStation to get to that point. And and Ethan was complaining about it earlier, I think, before the podcast started.
Going to complain about it later.
So I won't say too much about it, but yeah, Sony has just been screwing things up left and right, and I think, you know, somehow they would screw up your save file and you would lose it forever. And they wouldn't back it up on the system as well. So,
and if you complain,
it's kind of scary.
Sue you.
Yeah.
And be like, you're defaming us.
It's interesting. It's an interesting idea.
They just can't really do much right at this point. It's just kind of funny to watch them stumble, and they'll get their shit together. But right now, it's a lot of fun to make fun of them. On the other hand, really excited about cloud saving, because hopefully the other systems I play adopt that. Steam has to an extent on a lot of their games, and as soon as Microsoft feels some pressure, hopefully I can get rid of my USB stick and not have to worry about you know, my hard drive dying when my next Xbox Red rings and that kind of thing. So the sooner the better that this spreads around. And it'll also be nice to see this in 2042 on the Nintendo systems.
Ethan, when you play Steam, have you noticed any problem with your cloud saves or anything like that?
Yeah, you know, actually, I'll tell you one thing. With the Steam, one of the very first games that utilized that I took advantage of was on Plants vs. Zombies, and it was a huge disaster because the Steam or the cloud saves came on and everyone's, you know, information into it, and then something happened and you couldn't play your save game anymore. So there's definitely a downside to it. I mean, at least when, you know, you can save it directly to a hard drive, you kind of have control of it. But as with what happened with Plants vs. Zombies, I had put a lot of time into that game and I still cannot get back to it. So
there's going to be some kinks they have to work out between, you know, detecting that you have a connection and it can make the cloud save versus, you know, double checking which one's newer, the one on your hard drive or the one in the cloud, and letting you make that choice. Because I had the same thing happen with Torchlight, that I had a game overwritten or lost or something, that I lost like 5 hours of gameplay. But, you know, at that point, cloud saving was being patched into the game, and it was annoying as hell, but I don't even think we'll remember it down the road. This should become the norm, and hopefully the sooner the better.
You know, you just gave me like heart palpitations about thinking about my Xbox Red ringing again, and the fact that I still don't have a USB stick set up. But even if I did have, you know, cloud saving, I'm still going to be backing that crap up. Just because I guess probably because I came up with Windows 3.1.
That's crazy that we still have to have to worry about backing up saves. Like, remember when I was talking the other day about somebody was talking about buying a Wii for somebody. I was like, who doesn't have a Wii at this point? But they're like, do they crash? And I was like, yeah, all three of these systems right now crash all the time. Like every one of them has issues. And I think just none of our shit's safe out there. And that's why we got to trust the cloud. The cloud will save us all. But they won't save Eris. I had to make a Final Fantasy joke. Let's go to Gift Store. Second headline.
The second headline for me is that Randy Pitchford, who is the president of Gearbox, essentially said in response to some of the criticism that Duke Nukem has gotten about being misogynist, you know what, guys? Bring it on. And he wasn't saying it in a challenging way. He's saying, look, if you think that this is misogynist and it's going to get you attention to your cause in getting people to talk about women's issues and women's rights, please feel free to use our game that way. You know, we understand that Duke Nukem is a crass game and it makes a lot of dick jokes and boob jokes and it's violent and everything else, but you know what? Talk about it. Like, we're not pissed that you want to talk about it. And he also felt it necessary to point out that the aliens turn men into pigs. And on top of that, Duke is sort of a satire. Like, the entire game is the Duke Nukem 3D was. And finally, that Duke isn't a misogynist, he's a hedonist. So, you know, everything is about finding pleasure some way, which is why he smokes good cigars and drinks and wants to kill aliens because they're screwing up.
You know, they took our women, man.
Yeah.
I love that. Like, the world is being invaded, but he doesn't get set off until they take the women. Like,
right.
Why they got to take all the pretty ones?
Yeah. But terrible. I really enjoy Pitchford's response.
I don't know. That's another reason. Like, Gearbox, again, another company I've been cheering for ever since Borderlands. And, for the company that I found out about them when they did the Halo port, and just anybody that has to do a port like that, kind of, you know, it kind of got to start off as the bitch, not to be misogynist, but
bitch in the prison sense.
Right. There you go. And it's just been nice to see them grow, but it also just shows kind of how savvy Pitchford is and how they understand what they bought when they got Duke Nukem. And he's not going to deny what it is and what it isn't. And but it's also, again, it's just kind of nice from a lot of what we've been saying about he knows who the game is for and who it isn't, and it's not, you know, it's going to get some shit, but it's, if people are taking it too seriously, the game's a fucking fantasy, you know? And but if it can, you know, serve some good for some other people, it's nice to see him embrace that. And you know, the game doesn't come out till May. He's trying to get ahead of that somewhat, and I
think not being cool. Really defensive. He's not getting shrill.
Yeah,
he's saying, "Look, yeah, you're right. There's all kinds of
living issues
with violence and misogyny and homophobia, and they all suck. Let's talk about them."
It's like living in that world would be terrible because there's also aliens invading too,
and they're taking all the pretty girls.
Yeah, that would fucking suck. Just about, yeah, anyway.
Well, and I mean, you don't see women getting upset when kitchen simulators come out because that's helpful to them.
Your God. Wife's not living right now, is she?
I had to throw that in. And real quick, I love women. Like, I love them. Like, I love boobies and titties and that kind of stuff.
It does the same thing.
No. Yeah.
And emotions.
And maybe I'm wrong on this, but I keep hearing that a lot too. Misogynist, isn't a misogynist characterized more so by a hate for women?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Degrading.
Yeah. Okay. As opposed to, you know, just being like, oh yeah, all I see you as is a, you know, a place to you know, place my wiener. I always thought a misogynist was more like, I fucking hate women. And I just, you know, I have no use for them. So I always get confused when
semantics
these
a little
debates
bit
come
there.
Up.
If, well, I think you may be getting the semantics right there because you're looking, if you look at a woman as only a sexual object, then you're depersonalizing them.
I think that's super personalizing them. That's a joke. I'm just trying to get some feedback from, you know, maybe we'll get a debate on this podcast and get some attention, you know?
Yeah, nothing like getting
everybody. I'm welcoming any listeners or friends of listeners to challenge Ethan in this conversation because I'd enjoy backing you up.
I will buy tickets for it. Ethan getting flamed.
Our last headline here, kind of a downer. Sorry about this, but the beginning of the year actually was pretty rough as far as studio closings, and one of the sadder things to happen this month was seeing Bizarre Creations close. Geometry Wars, kind of where I fell in love with those guys, and I was also a big fan of Blur, and evidently didn't sell well enough, and they're just one of those studios that Activision tried to give some creative freedom, but they just didn't get the right projects, or whether they're marketed right or wrong, they seem to produce quality games, but they just didn't sell, and they closed their doors. And on the other side of Activision, they actually announced that there would not be any Guitar Hero games this year, and no more are planned at the moment. I don't think it's the big death that everybody's touted, but it's probably going to be, you know, it'll probably make a return in 4 or 5 years. I wouldn't be surprised, but Guitar Hero is dead for now, and a lot of rearranging is going on over at Activision with kind of closing their music division and restructuring to put more effort behind Call of Duty and their online model. And it's really frustrating to see that because it just kind of goes to show that Activision continues to burn through their franchises and not learn any lessons from it and just move on to the next cash cow. And among that Guitar Hero story, they also mentioned there's not going to be a Tony Hawk game this year, which was kind of the first one to suffer through that cycle. And so, you know, for me, as a huge Harmonix and Rock Band fan, it was kind of bittersweet to see Guitar Hero die. But again, I never had any disdain or like to see when development houses close and developers lose their jobs. And and I don't think it was ever in the control of Neversoft to decide when and where and how Guitar Hero games are marketed and released. They just, you know, were told to do them every year, and that's what they did. And, you know, they've kind of killed that genre for a while. Hopefully it kind of rebounds or redefines itself here in the next couple of years. But it was definitely surprising just to hear that they were letting it die.
Well, I mean, you've got to wonder about – not everybody can be mad.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can't – just because they can turn out a Madden game every year and people still buy it, it doesn't necessarily translate to Guitar Hero or Tony Hawk or
– It's been – my argument's just been it doesn't necessarily work outside of sports franchises. I mean, I wouldn't imagine that the yearly sports franchises are breaking records every year at this point, but it just never made sense to try to apply that model, especially to Call of Duty.
Change enough. I mean, I know like sports games don't change enough either, but like from playing Call of Duty Modern Warfare to going to Modern Warfare 2, it's basically the same game, you know? And even looking at like the Black Ops and stuff, it's the same. They're just releasing the same with different paint on it.
Well, I think the closest franchise that wasn't a sports game that can't, you know, that was able to continue to pop out sequels was probably Final Fantasy. But I think they did that by just keeping kind of a broad idea and not, you know, direct narrative. You know what I mean? Yeah, I think that's the only way you can do it.
And were direct narratives, and they weren't yearly.
Yeah, they weren't yearly.
That's right. Yeah, that is right.
And Guitar Hero was it? I mean, it was. Across platforms, it was like 3 or 4 a year. It wasn't even, yeah, I mean,
I just remember how excited I was and how cool I thought it was the first time I saw it. And it was only like, 2000, it was only like 5 years ago when it first came out.
Yep. And happened that quick.
Yeah, I mean, and like, Neversoft has gotten the short end of the stick. Yeah. They developed, I think, Tony Hawk games, or maybe three. And those games were awesome.
Yeah.
And then... hey, how about you make one of those every year? And then now you can do this music game too and do this every year. And it's
it sucked to see them like have to be forced to grind out, no pun intended, Tony Hawk until it was dead and their creativity and it was essentially gone. And their reward for making that cash cow for Activision is to pick up on Guitar Hero and do the same thing. I hope some of the developers saw it coming and got out of there.
Yeah, I mean, they made the best skateboarding game at that point that we'd ever seen. And obviously there was some talent in that studio for them to just have to, like, Activision, let them do their own thing. Like, let them see what they can come up with on their own. And it's amazing, like, that they didn't have the big big blow-up like they had at Infinity Ward, you know? Yeah. Like, how come the guys behind Neversoft didn't want to just blow up and leave? And I guess they were getting paid and didn't care as much, but it sucks.
My question is, I mean, obviously they ran Guitar Hero into the ground, don't get me wrong, but I mean, did Rock Band have a little stake in Guitar Hero to kind of not being relevant anymore? Because, I mean, what's the sense in playing a game only with a guitar when you can play a game with, you know, a full fucking band? You know what I mean?
Well, the other Guitar Hero, the newer Guitar Hero games, you could do that too.
Oh, okay.
But I don't get the sense that Rock Band's selling all that wonderfully either. But I think their music...
They lost some people too.
Yeah, they had to restructure. Luckily, I think Dance Central probably carried them through a little bit this holiday season. And then they kind of have a more steady revenue stream coming from their downloadable content than Guitar Hero did.
Thanks to Justin.
Yeah. But they seem to be adapting their business to their expected revenue rather than assuming they're making $1 billion every year like Activision was doing. But so that was just – it was kind of sad to see the bad news to start off the year. And hopefully Neversoft can be reborn and be able to do something original again. So to wrap all these, this headline discussion up, let's go around the internet table here and each of you point out any of the headlines that you think are actually going to matter a few months from now that we'll actually remember. And we'll start with Cole.
Wow, there's some good ones this month. I'm going to go with Fat, Ugly, or Slutty. Not that the website is going to be around in a couple months, because I hope it will be, but the whole idea of like the real ID and people just being idiots and gamers getting a bad name, we're going to be constantly hearing that in the news going forward, and hopefully we can get rise above the bad name that those gamers are giving the rest of the
game. Yeah, I think the real ID stuff has just kind of peeked its head out, but I think it has a longer tail to it than that. Like in a year, maybe like a year and a half, it might become a bigger issue at that point. But you know, if Blizzard's playing around with that, it's gonna hit the industry hard at some point.
Yeah, Blizzard carries a little bit of weight.
Just a little bit. Gifford.
I'm gonna go with Cole on that one. It's sort of tied in also to, you know, the Duke discussion and the Call of Juarez, like that there's still going to be this treating video games like it's a new medium, mm-hmm. Even though it's really not. And I think that's a good thing. Like, let's talk about this like it's real media, even though some of the stuff we've talked about has been bad or, you know, not fun to talk about. Mm-hmm. But I think Fat, Ugly, or Slutty are sort of the general concept Cole was talking about is really important and it's going to stick around. Okay. And from my standpoint, I'm not just going to rise above it. I'm going to try and fight that kind of crap, continuing to be the asshole who bans or who tries to get people banned.
I will support you. Me too. I think the site will be behind you. Ethan?
You know, going with the Duke Nukem and the you know, kind of the call to the feminist anger. You know, I think the thing is a lot of organizations just need to understand that. I mean, what feminists stand for, you know, I'm all for, you know what I mean? I have no problem with it. But the issue is all you're doing is giving a game advertising, you know, if you do follow suit with that, you know. And I look at how a lot of these games are kind of targeted, and some of these, you know, these talking heads have to kind of understand at one point that's not, you know, if you're going to try to attack video games, don't do it in a way that's going to make video games sound, you know, fucking awesome. And I think that Pitchford did a good idea, did a good thing with, you know, just simply stating, look, like, we understand, let's hear what you have to say, but there's better places to target right now. Yeah. M fucking TV is doing so much more, you know, to counteract any intelligence that our generation has, yet seldom do I hear anything about that. And watch, you know, a single episode of Jersey Shore, and you want to talk about hedonism and just, you want to talk about idiots that need to be wiped off the fucking planet, there you go.
I think we all just became our parents on this episode, by the way, now that we're talking about the MTVs.
And we don't even have kids.
And
I know, that's, oh, I'm going to be a dickhead of a dad. Like, I'm not going to let my kids do anything.
I won't argue that this is going to be a major issue going forward, just identity and girl gamers and the ongoing perception of kind of controversial games. But just from the technology side, I think the cloud save is a milestone that's getting on consoles, and I think it will be applied to all the consoles going forward. So we'll look back on that. And and Activision, biggest publisher out there right now, when a major franchise dies, that is not small news. And basically, we're either going to see the resurgence of Guitar Hero and not because of that, the continued success of Activision, or we're going to see their little franchise model kind of bite them in the ass in the next couple of years. And I think we can point back as this is one of the milestones in that, either way. All right. That takes us to HorribleNight.com updates.
proud to announce our first horrible all-nighter next Thursday, March 10th at 8 p.m. Eastern. The Curse is going to be online playing some Gears of War 2, and we'd like you Xbox Live members and listeners to join us and see if we can't chainsaw our way to friendship. And more details will be available.
Seems
on the
counterproductive
site
to me.
More details will be available on the site soon. But I can tell you right now, what you can do to prepare is obviously get Gears of War 2, get that updated. We're gonna try to avoid DLC where we can, but also on Xbox Live, send a friend request to gamer tag Horrible Nighter, and I'll be playing under that during that evening and taking friend requests and trying to get some games organized. It'll probably be a little bit bumpy, but we will definitely be on playing with as many of you as we can, and we're looking forward to that.
I'm going to smoke grenade tag as many of you as I can.
love lost from Gift Tour. Also wanted to promote our friends over at InGamingWeTrust.com. They are currently preparing to run a gaming marathon to raise funds for the Animal Rescue Fund up in Muncie, Indiana, that was flooded this week. And these guys are very similar types of gamers to us that are very interested in a lot of the gaming industry issues that we are, and supporting a good cause, and I will be promoting them, and look forward to hopefully a successful fundraiser for them.
If you don't give them money, you hate puppies and kittens.
Absolutely. I hate kittens, but not puppies.
Oh, man!
Sorry, just take another shot at cat people. I hope the cats are okay. Let's wrap this show up with some game industry shout-outs. Coleman, take us home.
Sorry I got to mention Sony from sucking again, but...
it's going to be a better way to say that.
Yeah, I totally screwed that up. They just got blocked from selling any PS3s in Europe. LG had filed a suit about their Blu-ray technology, and they won. So the courts have, refused the PS3 in Europe, and Sony has to apply to get that ruling overturned. So better snatch up those PS3s, all you listeners in Europe that we have, because they're not going to be on the shelves here pretty soon. So,
but don't worry about it, because when those fade from shelves, you can still buy We Dare and play that on your Wii that will still
be in Europe. That's a good point. That's way better than playing on a PS3.
Ethan, I believe you have something else to say about the PlayStation 3.
Yeah, speaking of PS3, fuck you. it took me a really long damn time to convince my wife to get one, and she can't even watch her stories on it because it doesn't work half the time. Every time I update the thing, it breaks. I mean, what the hell? Like, I thought I was avoiding, kind of the catastrophe I had with the Red Rings of Death with the 360 by switching to PlayStation 3 for a while. But I guess, in a way, I'm trying to say, take me back, 360, please.
to be fair, with the exception of one Red Ring of Death, which took Microsoft a week to fix, I've had no problems with mine, and it's 5 years old.
Yeah.
I've had two 360s die, but they were both fixed within a week, so I can't really get too upset about it.
See, I think I got I sent mine in back in the back when everyone's went out, and
yeah,
it took a solid amount of time, but it's working great now. And on a side note, really quickly, just put this out there, I really really appreciate female gamers. I know I come off as an asshole sometimes, but I think that's the best thing for this industry is for female gamers to have a voice and to play, because it's going to make gaming that much better. So anything that I say, take with a grain of salt, because I'm an idiot.
That, and I think we're pretty much sarcastic 99% of the time. And
I think I'm 100% of the time sarcastic. Like, I can't even tell people I love them because they just don't take it seriously.
Larger issues for Ethan. We'll have to have a therapy session on a future episode. I kind of wanted...
I'll give my fuck you to ordering games online. Kind of said that I've been waiting for Bulletstorm here for the last week, and I don't order games online very much because I tend to pretend anyway that I plan out to buy games the day they come out, and I tend to reserve them to pick them up in the store just so I know that I will have that game when I want it. And that's like that when that doesn't happen, like I said, my world kind of goes a little bit crazy because I don't like everything's not going to plan and I kind of freak out. But I've been planning on playing Bulletstorm for the last month. I've been talking about it for months before that, and I freaked out, and now I'm playing some RPG that won't let me go because an online retailer, I'm not even blaming them in particular because I think it happens to all of them, had a deal that I get, 20 them, and I comply it to another game, and then I just realized I didn't get that game when I wanted, and now I have to spend that other $20 on another game that chances are I won't get it when I need it, and it's just started this cycle of delayed games that I don't even want to deal with. So I'm going to stick with stores and reserving pickup copies. I'll reserve the copies online, but I'm not going to wait for them to ship it to me.
If anybody doubted that Justin was a control freak as described on our website, he just confirmed it. My shout out is to Duke Nukem. They just got their ESRB rating. Big fan of standing up to the man in this case. And at that juncture, fuck PG-13 movies that should be R-rated. Like, maybe it'd be better if they wouldn't have pushed out. But I just want to read a couple of highlights real quickly from the ESRB rating summary. During the course of the game, players enter a strip club level and view several topless dancers and receive lap dances. A couple of missions within this level require players to recover sex toys and pictures of topless women. A few sequences strongly imply sexual acts. Two women appear to perform fellatio on the central character, though there is no actual depiction of the sex act. Duke moans and leans up against the wall of a bathroom stall furnished with a hole. It is implied that a sex act, not depicted, occurs. Anyway, I just hope whoever wrote that was able to keep a straight face.
I don't understand, like, who's supposed to use this stuff? They don't print this on the game box, but like they try to.
I had to go to some effort to find that.
Yeah, like I wonder how you get redirected to as a parent to actually read that stuff, and then that's more information than you really wanted to know. I also am going to post a link to the ESRB description of Bulletstorm, which is even more colorful and more enjoyable. But on that wonderful support of curse words, we will get out of here. The Horrible Show will be back next Wednesday. We appreciate you listening. And if you ever want to reach out, get a shout out on the show, we're always taking questions, and hit us up on our contact form and we'll be happy to answer them in a sarcastic manner. But until then, gentlemen, thanks for joining me, and we'll be back next week. See ya.
Have a fucking horrible night.
Boom.
ESRB rating, I tie that together.